she cried, oh, oh, my Lord, oh, great God, oh, my Lord, oh, said if I could just touch hem of your garment, I know I'll be made. Oh, oh, my Lord, oh, great God, oh, my Lord, oh, said if I could just touch hem of your garment, I know I'll be made. She cried, oh, oh, my Lord, oh, great God, oh, my Lord, oh, said if I could just touch hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole. We sing in the song, oh, I want to see him.
Yes.
Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass. Home at last, ever to rejoice. I want to see the one who rescued me. I want to see the one who redeemed me. I want to see the one who delivered me. I want to see the one who saved me. When my soul is overwhelmed, I need to see Jesus. When my soul is in despair, I need to see Jesus. Amen. When my soul is riding on the wings of ecstasy, I still need to see Jesus. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him. Y'all gonna crown him? Crown him! Oh, crown him,
yes.
Lord of all. Amen. We're happy and ecstatic today to have in our presence Sister Roundtree, is that right? And she is from Illinois. And she has moved to this area. Now, I want y'all, Sister Smith invited her. And let's make her feel welcome where she won't go nowhere else. Praise God. We are happy to have her today. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew. The chapter is 28. And the verses for your consideration are 28 and 29. I'm going to ask you to read these passages after me. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 29. If you have that, please say amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. I get it right. Yeah, thank you, Brother Sperling. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Let me say it one more time. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you would please read these words after me. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Would you repeat this subject? He spoke as one having authority. Part three. Say that too, part three, amen. He spoke as one having authority. Part three. This is the final message in a series of three entitled, He Spoke as One Having Authority, and we have attempted and labored to point out that as Jesus declared the message of God, it was astounding and astonishing. The people were surprised at his preaching. His preaching caused people to wonder. There was something unique. There was something phenomenal about the way in which he proclaimed the word of God, because he did not merely proclaim it as a scribe, but he spoke as one who had authority. Jesus Christ says, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Amen. Jesus Christ is the most powerful man in the universe. Jesus Christ is the richest man in the universe, because he has unsearchable or incalculable riches. Amen. Now, we are all created to live under the authority of God. That's why we exist. And when we do not live under this authority, it is sin. Now, people use different strategies and methods of trying to get from under the authority of God, but when it's all said and done, it is rebellion. Amen? We need to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Either we are submitting to the authority of God, or we are rebelling under the authority of God. But our only hope for not being deceived is the truth. Our only hope for improvement is the truth. Our only hope for salvation is the truth. Amen. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the day we see truth and the day we cease to speak it is the day we begin to die. William Cullen Bryant said, truth crossed the earth will rise again. Truth may be denied, but it cannot be avoided. James Russell Lowell said, truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong is forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown, God standeth in the shadow, keeping watch above his own. But there are some people who say, I'm waiting for the right words. Well, the right words came from the lips of Jesus. Amen. And if you want the right words, you need to listen to the words of Jesus, because he spoke as one having authority. Never spake man like this man. Peter said he has the words of eternal life. He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The words of Christ are to dwell in us richly. You ought to, every week, you ought to be thinking about the teaching of Jesus. The word of Jesus ought to be in your heart. Every day, you ought to be thinking about Jesus. You ought to take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Is that all right? So this morning, as we bring this series to a close, I want to talk about four areas in which Jesus spoke as one having authority. Let me give you these areas I want to cover, and we will look at. Number one, he spoke as one having authority on loyalty. He spoke as one having authority on loyalty. Number two, he spoke as one having authority on investments and priorities. And number three, he spoke as one having authority on faith and worry. And finally, number four, he spoke as one having authority on wisdom and foolishness. These are four areas, and this is not exhaustive, but these are just some of the areas in which he spoke as one having authority. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus stated what is called a universal negative. And in this universal negative, he said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate the other. He will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody here today has a master. You may not acknowledge your master. Either your master is Christ or the devil. Everybody got a master. No man can serve two masters. Jesus did not need a course in anthropology to know this. Jesus did not need a course in psychology to know this. Jesus did not need a course in social psychology to know this. He said that no man can serve two masters because Jesus knew what was in man. And when he talked about this, he was talking about loyalty. Amen. When a man deserts the armed forces, he's called a deserter. And he's not loyal. Amen. Well, what does the word loyalty mean? It means the state of being loyal. Don't you want some folks in your life that are loyal? Don't you want some folks in your life that got your back? Don't you want folks in your life who can say, I got you? Is that all right? I got you, now I'm going to get you. And there's a difference. Amen. We need some people in our lives that are loyal. Loyal means duty or attachment to somebody or something. Loyalty means reliability. It means allegiance. And either I'm loyal to God or I'm not. Either I'm on the Lord's side or I'm on the devil's side. I may not want to admit it. I may not even want to talk about it. But I've got a master. The Bible says in Romans 6:17, know you not to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey. His servants you are to whom you obey. Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God bethink ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then set free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. So everybody is loyal. And this is why God says, love me with all your heart. Love me with all your mind. Love me with all of your soul. And love me with all of your strength. God says, you can find me if you look for me, right? How many are looking for the Lord? You know how to find the Lord? Here's what Jeremiah 29:13 say. He said, and they shall seek for me, and they shall find me when they seek for me with their whole heart. You'll find God if you seek for him with your whole heart. You'll find God if you really sincerely want to do what's right. You may be struggling, my dear brothers and sisters. But do you not know the Lord will help you? Lord ain't going to throw you away or cast you away. If you got problems in your life that you struggling with and you sincerely trying to overcome them. We don't serve a God like that. I'm glad I got a God who knows all about me. He was tempted in all points like as we are. And we all wrestling with something. That's just life. Hello, lights. We all wrestling with some. That is the equation of life. But Jesus talked about loyalty. You can't serve God and money. He didn't say you can't have money. He said you just can't serve God and money. Sometimes you can have money and still love God. Don't believe you can't be rich and righteous. That's the devil's lie. That you got the only way you can serve God, you got to be broke. That ain't true, amen. Because I see in scripture where men were rich and righteous. So one can be rich and righteous. We need the truth because we need to be set free. Is that all right? And then he talked about my brothers and sisters, and he spoke as one having authority on loyalty. We got too many church folks who are not loyal. We got too many family members who ain't loyal. And I find it interesting, the folks who ain't loyal, when they get in trouble, want you to stand by them. Want to sing Tammy Wynette song, Stand By Your Man. Praise God. But when you're in trouble, you don't see him. Amen. But when they get in trouble, they want you to step up, step out, step on, and stand by them. Amen. Then the second thing he spoke about with authority was investments and priorities. Investments and priorities. The second wisest man to ever live said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You just can't let everything just run through your mind. You can't let your mind just run wild. You got to control that. Is that all right? He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And not only the issues of life, the issues of your life. What's going on with you? What's happening in your house? What's happening in your personal life? Amen. And it depends a great deal how you think about it. And so he spoke as one having authority on investments. And all of us gotta invest. Amen. Well, what does investment mean? Investment means the outlay of money, either into a bank or stock for a future benefit. One of the reasons people invest money in stocks or other financial instruments is because they want to realize a profit down the road. Well, not only that, there's another definition of investment, and it is the contribution of activity. It means the energy, the time, the effort you put into an endeavor, an undertaking, or an enterprise for a future benefit. And so Jesus spoke with one having authority on investments. But he understands the dynamics of investing. Because first thing he talked about was, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in order to invest, you got to get your treasure right. And the reason that is true, because the heart always follows the treasure. That's why folks will stand in line to get a ticket and not complain. But if you lock the door and won't let them in the church, they will cuss you out. Come on, y'all. Because where your treasure is, what your interest is, nobody have to force me to watch tennis. I like that. Amen. There are some things you ain't got to make me do. I run to do. Like folks say, I like good food, and I know when you can't cook. Praise God. I know I can't, but I know when you can't either. Is that all right? Nobody, there are some things that you don't have to make me do. And so Jesus talked about investment strategy. He said, watch this. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But rather, here's what he said, the most profound investment you could ever make is not in Microsoft stock, not in UPS stock, not in FedEx stock. Amen. The greatest investment contribution of activity you could ever make in your personal life is investment in treasures in heaven. He said, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal. Jesus said, this investment you will never lose. You can lose money in stock. Companies can go broke. Companies have gone broke. Is that right? Bernie Madoff made off with the dough. And he perpetrated the biggest securities fraud in the history of U.S. securities. People lost fortunes messing with Mr. Madoff. And Mr. Madoff was a thief. He was that thief that Christ talked about. But Jesus said, if you invest in heaven, you will never have to worry about thieves getting it. You will never have to worry about the passage of time affecting it. Why? Because this investment in heaven, watch this. Number one, it is undefiled. It is incorruptible. And it is reserved in heaven for you. And it is backed up by God Almighty. A God who cannot fail. God who can make something out of nothing. If he makes you a guarantee, there is no greater guarantee than what God guarantees. And so he said, if you aren't invested in heaven, you're making a terrible decision. Well, how do you invest in heaven? You want to know how you do that? Number one, you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number two, you live a life of obedient faith. Number three, you live a life of good works and golden deeds. Number four, all the rest of your life, however long you live, if you live 100 more years, for the rest of your life, if you live 60 more years, 70 more years, for the rest of your life, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how you invest in heaven. Now, this is good strategy because, number one, this world is not your home. You got to face that. You just passing through. Number two, you brought nothing. What you bring in this world when you were born? Did you have a shirt on? Did you have pants on? When a baby comes in this world, has nothing. Bible said, we brought nothing into this world. It is certain, and none of us really know when we're going to exit this world. And so Christ said, I want to speak with authority on investments. Amen. And then he talked about priorities. Priority is that which is of urgent importance. The phone may ring, it's urgent, but it's not important. But sometimes the phone rang and you won't even answer. Go on, tell the truth about it. It rang, they said, I don't know that number. And you don't, and some of you do know the number. You called me. I didn't know you. When you called? I didn't know you called me. Something must be wrong with my phone. You know my phone dropping calls. No, you dropping God. Praise God. Is that all right? Priority is that which comes first. And Jesus said, seek first of all the kingdom. He spoke as one, what's first in your life? Samuel L. Jackson asked, what's in your wallet? You saw the commercial, hadn't you? Yeah, Sam said, what's in, ain't none of your business, Sam. Even though, brother, I do happen to have a Capital One card in there. But he asked, what's in your, what's first in your life? Well, Jesus said that the kingdom has got to be first. Now, some people put jobs, careers first, family, love, romance first. Jesus said that the Gentiles, I mean the nations, put food, clothing, shelter, housing, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to put on first. He said, don't you make that mistake. Don't you work so much you can't serve God. Hello? Amen? Now, I got sense enough to know that I don't tell folks to walk off jobs. I don't tell folks that. Amen. And no other responsible preacher ought to tell them that. Amen. But you got to make a decision about what's first in your life. And Jesus said, watch this. Jesus said, if you put the kingdom first, I'll make sure you have what you need. Now, the promises of God are called exceeding great and precious promises. The promises of God are so great, Sister Johnson, we sing about these promises. We sing, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Don't just sit on the property, you ought to stand on the promises. Don't just be on the premises. You ought to stand on the promises. Is that all right? And these promises of God will affect you psychologically. They will affect you emotionally. And they affect your behavior. Is that right? I told you this morning in the Sunday school, if you get motivated, you can get something done. Is that right? If you get motivated, you can achieve your goals. You can run through obstacles and pitfalls and setbacks. Amen. And so he said, watch this. If you put first the kingdom, God said, I will be your economic guarantor. A guarantor is someone who makes guarantees. And God says, if you put the kingdom first, you look at your life and make sure it's first in your life. And then he talked about, Sister John, he talked about faith and worry. Faith and worry. You know, you can't have a best life if you ain't got peace of mind and peace of soul. You can't live a good life if you can't sleep at night. You can't live a good night life if you got to take a pill to wake up, a pill to go to sleep, and a pill to make it through the day. Is that all right? You got to have some peace of mind and peace of soul to make it in this world. You got to have peace of mind. You can have a whole lot of money, ain't got no peace. You can have a nice house, nice carpet, nice furniture, but got wall-to-wall hell in your house. And you still ain't got no good house. And you got a nice house, but you don't even want to go home. Because there's so much turmoil and confusion in your house. Is that right? You got to have peace of mind to make it in this world. And peace of soul. Is that right? Because peace of mind is such a important thing. The poets talked about it. Paul Lance Dunbar said, across the bread and a corner to sleep in, a minute to smile and an hour to weep in, a pint of joy to a peck of trouble, never to laugh and the moans come double. And that is life. Because peace of mind is so important. Shakespeare talked about it. He said, life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury. temporary signifying nothing. Because I need peace of mind and peace of soul. Did you not know that the National Mental Health Institute said that 1 out of 8 of Americans over the age of 18 have anxiety disorder? Did you know that? Why you think it's so much Zoloft? Did you know that antidepressants have reached $1 billion in pharmaceutical sales? Because people have anxiety disorder. Anxiety comes from a Latin word, which literally means to choke or strangle your mind. You can get so stressed out about life. Jesus talked about it when he said, take no thought for your life. And sometimes we worry, and that's going to be real. A lot of time, most of us worry about money. We got more money than we got money. Got car trouble. When the engine won't start, the payments won't stop. That's car trouble. Amen. And bill collectors calling you. Like Marvin Gaye said, money, we make it. Before we see it, you take it. Oh, make me want to hop. Throw up both my hands. Is that all right? Because we stressed out. But let me tell you what Christ said. He spoke as one having authority on anxiety and worry. Did you know the Lord talked about worry? Did you know your Savior talked about anxiety? Do you know what he said? Well, number one, he said, don't worry. Consider the birds of the air. Don't worry. Look at the birds. I saw a fat robin this week, and he was up in a tree singing. He doesn't have a 401k. He don't have an IRA. But he's doing all right. Is that all right? Because he knows the Heavenly Father does what? He takes care of him. But not only that, he said, not only don't worry, he said, consider the lilies of the field. God said, I take care of the flowers, I take care of the grass, and I'll take care of you. Is that right? God says, don't worry, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So instead of worrying, believe. Instead of worrying, consider. Instead of worrying, behold. Instead of worrying, pray. Is that all right? What do you pray about? You pray about everything. He said, let your requests be made known with thanks. You know, I'm learning to pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's what Jesus said. Now look at what he said. Let me say it again. He said, instead of worrying, behold the birds. Are you so busy in life and driving, going to work, picking the children up from school, getting your checkbook balance and getting the groceries and running home to get your TV show? But you ain't got time to. When the last time you looked at a bird? When the last time y'all looked at a bird? Yesterday? Are you so busy you don't even see the birds? The Lord said, look at them. You got a garden, they eat more of your fruit than you cooking. Is that right? The Lord said, take the time and look at the flowers. The Lord said, take the time and don't worry, trust me. What you worrying about today? Anybody worried this morning? Anybody got something heavy on your mind? Well, Brother Moss, you just don't know what I'm going through. I don't know, but the Lord does. I may not know. I'll admit that I may not know. I got limitations, but I know one who has no limitations. And he says, trust me. Amen. Amen. Because worrying, you can't make yourself grow 18 inches. You can add a cubit to your stature. And somebody said, worrying is like paying interest on money you never borrowed. Would you pay interest on money you never borrowed? Is that all right? And then the Lord says, if you put these things first, I'll add them unto you. And then finally, he talked about wisdom and foolishness. Amen. He talked about wisdom and he talked about, how do we know when one is really wise? How many wise folks we got in the house today? We have any? Let me ask again. Did y'all hear the question? How many wise people do we have? Do you know it's just one thing that determines whether we are wise or foolish? Do you know what it is? I was talking with a preacher last night. I asked him, I said, Doc, it's one thing that determines whether we are wise or foolish. Only one thing. It's one thing. One thing. I'm going to tell you what it is. Y'all want to know what it is? Y'all ready for it? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. One thing determines whether I'm wise or foolish. It's just one thing. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to make a comment about it. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Drop down to verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a what? Which did what? Now, let me sum it up. One thing determines whether we're wise or foolish, all of us, is what we do with the sayings of Jesus. What I do with his teaching. If I do it, if I hear it and I do it, I'm wise. If I hear it and don't do it, I'm foolish. Isn't that what it says? One thing determines it. What I do with the words of Jesus. I try to be wise, but I hadn't always been wise. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Haven't you made some unwise decisions? Well, when you make them, learn from them. Let me tell you this, a wise man, what's some of the differences, the characteristic difference between a wise man and a foolish man? Number one, a wise man builds his life upon the teaching of Jesus Christ. A foolish man does not. A wise man prepares himself for the end of the world or the end of his life. And does not allow the end of the world or the end of his life catch him unprepared. A foolish man does not. Number three, a wise man cries after wisdom and seeks for it as hidden treasure. A foolish man does not. Amen. You ask a wise man, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? He wouldn't tell you, I hope so. He'd tell you, yes. Amen. You ask a wise man, do you have insurance? I think I do. When the police stop you, the first thing they ask you is for a driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance. And a wise person ain't riding around in a car without that. Is that right? Is that correct? But sometimes we ride around and we ain't wise. Amen. Preach, preacher. Is that all right? Well, in conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, this concludes this message. I hope it's blessed you. And the question here, does he speak to authority to your heart? Does he speak with authority? There are some people say that there are some people who are agonizing over the truth. They're trying to figure out, why am I here? You still trying to figure that out, why you here? They're trying to figure out, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Well, let me tell you something. Christ answers that. This is why he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he said that because people are agonizing and struggling over, where did I come from? Why am I here? What is my purpose? You will never know your purpose without the authority of Jesus Christ. You'll never, a lot of people are lost and can't find their way because they don't hear the authority of Jesus Christ. We got a lot of young black brothers don't know where they came from. Don't know why they're here. And don't know where they're going. But I'm glad there's a man who says, I am the way. Aren't you glad about that? I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm closing now, but let me tell you this. I'm glad there was a scripture that says, the Lord has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountain were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the worlds, even from everlasting to everlasting. What? Thou art God. Is that all right? I'm glad there's a man named Jesus. I'm glad, Sister Jackie, he did not keep silent, but he spoke as one having authority. Is that all right? Christ can bring order out of chaos. Christ can bring simplicity out of complexity. Christ can bring understanding out of confusion. Christ can take all of the disconnected aspects of reality and weave them into an harmonious whole. Is that all right? Because Christ is in a class all by himself. Some people this morning are running out of time. Some people are running out of hope this morning. Some people are running out of alternatives. Is that all right? But I'm glad there's a voice that's crying out in the marketplace. And it's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is that all right? I'm glad he didn't keep silent and he talked about his mission. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, great God Almighty, ain't nobody like Jesus Christ. Is that all right? In Christ, I find strength for my weakness. In Christ, I find grace for my guilt. Is that all right? In Christ, I find stripes for my healing. Is that all right? Because can't nobody do me like Jesus Christ. Is that all right? In Christ, the fingers of prophecy point to Jesus Christ. Is that all right? The problem of human redemption is solved in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? The streams of civilization, they rise in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Intellect is sanctified in Jesus Christ. The bitterness of life is sweetened in Jesus Christ. My debt, sinners, is revoked in Jesus Christ. My condemnation is lifted in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? The eternity of heaven is lit up in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? The treasures of knowledge and wisdom are revealed in Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Because he spoke. Let me say it again. Y'all mighty quiet. He spoke as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. You want to know how to get yourself together? I got myself together when I came to Jesus. Can anybody say amen today? And I've been straight, bless my bones, ever since I came to Jesus. Oh yeah, I came just as I am, but I couldn't stay just as I am. Some people want to come to the Lord and stay just like they are. Some stuff you gotta take off, and some stuff you gotta put on. It's prayer time now. We assemble every first day of the week to help somebody. You need some help this morning? I had a great week this week. How about you? I felt good, man. I feel good this morning. I'm like James Brown. Oh, I feel good. Is that all right? Yeah, now I don't know how next week gonna be, brother, but I had a pretty good one this week. And I'm working, Cupcake, to have a good one. I want back to back. Are y'all with me? I want back to back. How many want back to back good weeks? How many want back to back good days? Well, the best way to do it is stay. You know, when I woke up every morning, I was praying. Before I went to sleep, I was praying, Rachel, and something I've started to do. I want to share this with y'all to bless you. I've started to use my imagination for the life I want. I see myself already there. Plenty of money, new suits, new car. My hair done turned black. Done got in tip-top shape. Y'all laughing. I'm telling you, I see this every morning, Tina. I see this. What kind of life you want to have? If you can see it, you can believe it. And if you can believe it, you can see it. Is that right? Because, watch this, most of us using our imagination against us. When you worry, and all you're doing is using your imagination about what possibly could, right? You ain't that, but you are projecting into the future about what you can turn this thing. So every morning, Sister Sperling, I get up and I say my prayer and I take a moment. And I've meditated about the church, what kind of church I like to see here at Bush Hill. Amen. You got to do that. Because as you what? As you think in your heart, what? Didn't God tell you to think about good things? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? And that's what the authority of Christ is about, the best use of your mind. Your mind is powerful. Huh? It's one of the most powerful things on earth. You got to program it right. Most of us have misprogrammed it. Huh? Is that right? That's why we got so much negative emotion in our lives and destructive emotion, and we unhappy most of the time because our programming is off. But Jesus said, don't worry about a thing, but you pray. Stand on your feet, beloved. That's the message. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, you need prayer this morning, we're going to pray for you. Whatever you need, we're here to provide it. If you need salvation this morning, amen. If you need salvation this morning, amen, is here for you. Well, Brother Moss, how do I get salvation? I get salvation by hearing the gospel. Faith come by hearing, Romans 10:17. Believe in it, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You get salvation by repenting. Acts 17:30. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You get it by confessing, Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You get it by being baptized. Take me to the water. Amen. Amen. Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. Well, Brother Moss, I've already been baptized. What do I need to do? You need to repent, my dear brother and my dear sister. You need to confess. And you need to pray. And my dear brothers and sisters, if you're struggling with an issue and you need the church to pray for you, we're here to pray for you. This is prayer time. This is salvation time. This is empowerment time. And we're standing in solidarity, waiting on you. But we got to learn how to lean on Jesus. Amen. Yes, I am learning to lean. Every day I'm learning. I'm a learning to lean. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Well, you know that I'm fine. I'm finding more power. Oh, Lord, than I ever dream. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to. Oh, Jesus.